grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the modern world, once again, we genuine confessional Lutherans look like the grumpy gusses of the community. And why is that? Because we insist on the pure doctrine of the saving word of God rather than the worldly compromises that are so common among many professing Christians, particularly in the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. And today I want to spend a few moments with you speaking to you about the necessity of holding fast to the Bible doctrine of the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. And the reason why it is so important to hold fast to the Bible doctrine of Holy Communion is because that doctrine also deals very clearly with three specific things. Number one, the reliability of the clear word of God. Is God's word clear? Does God truly and clearly reveal his will, his teaching, and his gifts? Or is God vague and uncertain? When we approach God's word, do we make our human reason, which is tainted by sin, do we make that the master over the words of Scripture? Or do we remember that Holy Scripture is the very Word of God inspired by the Holy Ghost, and therefore submit our reason to the Lordship of Christ, which He exercises by means of His words? You see? So, the doctrine of Holy Communion deals with the reliability of God's word. Does God say what he means? And does God mean what he says? Now listen to what St. Paul says. He, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." And you see that way that he said this? And then he goes on to give us the words of institution for the sacrament of the altar. So he says of the words of the sacrament, he says, "I have received of the Lord." He received this by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. It was given by Jesus to Paul and the other apostles by direct divine revelation. And then in his apostolic office, Paul says, "I also delivered it unto you." Therefore, when we think about what does the Bible teach about Holy Communion, we are to remember that the institution of Holy Communion was given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles, and the apostles in their divinely appointed ministry passed it along to us. And so we have the specific revelation of God to use and to understand. Now the question arises, does God mean what he says? And does he say what he means? Now for many Protestant churches, God doesn't mean what he says, and he doesn't say what he means. Here, in this most important thing, Jesus calls it the New Testament in my blood, where you'd think he'd be clear. But so many in the Protestant babble of our modern world say, oh no, Jesus didn't really mean that the bread was actually his body. He means, and this is the problem with them all. They say, we know what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean the body and blood of Christ. But what does it mean? Well, the Methodists think one thing, the Presbyterians think another thing, the Baptists think another thing. There are as many opinions among Protestants as there are Protestants. They know what it ain't, but they don't know what it is. And they aren't agreed. But here's the little secret of Protestantism. We're gonna agree to disagree. And that's it. That's the way you have all this promiscuous church fellowship among the evangelicals and Protestants of our world. Because they don't know what they believe, and they don't stand firm about what they believe, but they agree to disagree for the sake of peace. The Lord's Supper teaches us that when Jesus speaks and gives, he speaks and gives what he means, and he means what he says. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. You know, one of the things that Luther and his associates during the Reformation predicted, when they saw the inability of Zwingli and Karlstadt and the other dissenting Protestants and their denial of the real presence of Christ in the sacrament, Luther predicted that the denial of the real presence, the ability of them to look at the clear words of Scripture and say, it doesn't mean that, will mean that soon nothing will be certain for them. And that's the way we are today. In the modern world of Christianity, you gotta be nice. Because we don't know what we think about anything, but we sure know we don't want to fight about it. Well, we Lutherans are willing to fight about it. Why? Because we believe the truth of the Word of God. And therefore, it is so essential for us to think about and to hold fast to the proper Bible doctrine of the Lord's Supper. The reliability of God's clear word. Does God mean what he says, and does he say what he means? Lutherans say, yes, indeed. All right, now, second thing. We should hold fast to the doctrine of the Lord's Supper because it deals with the real presence of Christ in his church. Right? Now notice, when Jesus takes the bread, he says, this is my body which is given for you. And he takes the cup and he says, this is my blood which is shed for you. He very clearly wants us to understand that he himself is truly and really present, and that he is giving us to eat and drink the same body and blood that suffered for our sins upon the cross. The blood that he shed for us, that he in the sacrament gives these things to us and we receive them orally and in our hearts by faith. All right, so here we see that what the Bible teaches is the real presence in the bread and wine of the body and blood of Christ. Now, this doctrine of the real presence in the sacrament also safeguards the doctrine of Christ's real presence in his church. Right? Here's where those crazy Reformed people come in, Karlstadt and Zwingli and Calvin and others, and they said this: listen, there's two problems with you, Luther. Number one, you don't understand that the infinite God cannot be in a little piece of bread and a little sip of wine. The finite is not capable of the infinite. All right, that's what they said. So Jesus' body and blood cannot be present in the bread and wine of Holy Communion because it is logically impossible for an infinite thing to be inside of a finite thing. And they didn't stop to think that, wait a minute, if we really believe that, we can't believe that God became a man. But they conveniently don't, they don't think through their arguments. They just know that you can't fit the infinite in the finite, so it can't be the body and blood of Christ. And then they say, problem number two is this. Jesus' human nature, like all human natures, can only be in one place at one time. Jesus' body cannot be in every communion wafer on earth at the same time, and his blood cannot be in every communion chalice at the same time. Jesus is locked, his human nature is locked away in heaven, and he's not present. All right? He may be spiritually present. What on earth does that mean? You're either present or you're not. This whole spiritually thing. Is Jesus present when he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world"? Does he mean that? Is he present with us even to the end of the world? When he said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Is that true? Is Jesus in the midst of us? We Lutherans happily say, yes. Why? Because God's word said it. But what about the finite is not capable of the infinite? And what about the human nature of Jesus being only able to be in one place at one time, like our human nature? Here's the deal. When Christ became incarnate, that is, when God became man, there is in the one person of Christ a communication of the natures. Each nature does what is particular to it, but they do what is particular to them in communion with one another, so that the human nature shares in the properties of the divine nature, and the divine nature shares the properties of the human nature, even though they are distinct. All right, so Jesus is two natures, but he's one Christ. And God, where is God? All right, where is the right hand of God? It's everywhere, because God is everywhere, right? So if Jesus is at the right hand of God, where is Jesus? He's wherever God is. He is everywhere, right? And he is particularly present where his word is preached and his sacraments are administered among his saints. All right, so you got Protestantism, in which Jesus is locked away in heaven and you just get juice and crackers when you come to church. All right? And then you got the biblical faith of the Lutheran Church, which says that Christ is present with his divinity and his humanity, and he is graciously present in his word and sacraments, so that we may know that we are not orphans who have been left alone, but that Christ is ever with us. So important that we maintain the right doctrine of the Lord's Supper. And then the last thing I want to talk about today, we should hold fast to the doctrine of the Lord's Supper because it deals with the precious pledge from Christ of the forgiveness of our sins. All right? The words, as we learn them in our catechism, what is the key thing in the sacrament? The key thing in the sacrament are the words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. All right? In the sacrament, we are given the forgiveness of sins because Christ, when he suffered and died on the cross, he purchased and won salvation for all sinners when he died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And he has placed the very ransom that he paid for our sins into the sacrament, in which he himself offers and gives and delivers to us all the benefits that he has purchased and won for us once and for all on the cross. All right, so that in the sacrament, when you hold that piece of bread, which is the body of Christ, in your hand and you put it in your mouth, all right, you are receiving a means of grace, the instrument by which Jesus gives you the very body which he gave on the cross for your redemption, and he's giving that to you. Same thing, when you take the cup and you drink, you are drinking the very blood which was shed for you for the remission of your sins. And in that way, he is giving you his solemn pledge that your sins are forgiven. The sacrament is a solemn pledge of the forgiveness of sins, in that the very body and blood of Christ, which were given and shed for us, are offered to us and given to us, and we receive it orally and in our hearts when we come to the Lord's table. Therefore, well, what do the Protestants have to say about this? What about the brethren throughout the world? All right, what's going on in Holy Communion? I facetiously said juice and crackers, because really, no matter where you go across the fruited plain, nobody except Lutherans believe in the real presence of the body and blood in the sacrament. So what are they doing when they take communion? Well, they're engaging in an activity because Jesus said you're supposed to do it. It doesn't do anything. It's just an activity that somehow or other Jesus wants us to do this. So every once in a while we got to dust off the juice and cookies and hand them out in church because for some reason Jesus wants us to do this stuff, but it doesn't really do anything. We just like to remember that Jesus once was among us. All right, so that's the choice. Is the sacrament of the altar a genuine instrument and means of grace? A pledge of the forgiveness of sins? Or is it just an empty memorial activity like a memorial dinner given for a great person in the community? Right? Is it just that? Or is it something more? Well, the Bible says that it's something much more. And how does it say that? In verse 27, it says, if you eat and drink this cup and this bread unworthily, you are guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So you must examine yourself and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For whoever eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, failing to discern the Lord's body. All right? So therefore, in the words of the sacrament here, we are being told that something more than just a memorial dinner is being given. What is being given is the holy pledge of the forgiveness of sins, in which Jesus, using the sacrament of the altar, gives us an especially comforting and assuring pledge that our sins are forgiven. And the thing that we need, listen, the thing that we need more than anything on earth is the forgiveness of sins. And by God's grace, we have it in Christ. Amen.